السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, on our board we have an announcement of a mayyit. So one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we will discuss tonight, and something with regards to this ayat which I recited. This is an islahi majlis, and we don't stick to any one particular pattern. There is a notice there of mayyat. So let us speak something about maut. Because the person that passes away, he is leaving behind a message for us that I have left, you are going to follow. So you worry more about yourself. Have you made preparation for that day which is to come in your life? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, all the Khulafa'i Rashidin, the Sahaba'i Kiram, the Tabi'in, 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 Awliya of the Ummat, everybody was concerned about the Day of Judgment, Akhirat, Qabr, Hashar. But we, even in the Qabristan, with all the Qabrs in front of us, it just does not seem to bother us that one day we are going to follow in the same direction. Recently there was one janazah in one town. I'm not going to mention the name and place. But the amount of talking that was going on at the Qabristan of worldly matters surprises us. That Qabristan is there, there's so many graves right in front of us. What kind of people are buried in those graves? Different backgrounds they came from. Some were sportsmen of a high caliber. Their names used to appear in the papers that he's an excellent cricketer, he's an excellent footballer, he's a professional rugby player, or he is an expert in this sport or that sport, or the person was a big businessman, or he was a great alim or a mufti or a qari. Different kinds of people are buried in that graveyard. So we should be taking a lesson. Yet the amount of talking that was going on in that graveyard was unreal. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't make us even think that one day we have to go in that same direction. So since there is an announcement on the board of a mayyat tonight, and it's a majlis night, so one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we will discuss tonight. As it is, I too am feeling a bit exhausted today. So the hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentions that every day without fail, five angels descend from the skies. and they make 5 announcements. Each angel makes 1 announcement. Each angel makes 1 announcement. Now we will say every day we looked at the skies but we never saw any angels. And every day we tried to listen but we never heard any announcement. At this very moment as we are sitting here in the atmosphere, there are so many announcements that are being made. So many announcements, so many speeches, so many songs. And there are so many pictures also. They are all here in the air. Is it there or not? If you have a television here now, Nauzubillah, and you switch it on, so you will see the pictures there, and you will hear the speeches, you will hear all the announcements, and you will get the latest news of the world, and you will get so many other things on the radio that has been switched on. So it's all there, but we do not have that technology to listen to those angels. We do not have that technology, or we do not have that equipment, we do not have those receivers to listen to them, and we do not have those eyes to look at them. If you have the right equipment, you have the right eyes, and you have the right ears, then you can see and you can listen. Now in this world, we have not been blessed with that kind of sight and that kind of ears to listen to the angels. Allah Ta'ala, for whomsoever He wished that they listen to some angel's voice, He gave it to them. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many sahabas mentioned about listening to angels saying certain things, or the appearance of angels. In different battles, they saw the angels with their own eyes. But now we don't have that technology. We don't have those kind of hearts, we do not have that kind of spirituality. So we will have to believe in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us, because his eyes saw them and his ears heard them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes saw that which we cannot see, and his ears heard that which we cannot hear. So what is the duty of the blind man? That he must give his hand into the hands of the person who's got sight. If the person is walking and he is blind, and there is a fear of him falling into some ditch or getting hurt and injured, then what is his duty? That somebody of sight, he must give his hand into his hand and say, take me along, make me cross the street. I don't want to get knocked down by a car, because I cannot see the cars coming from this side or that side. So if he gives his hand into the hands of a person with sight, then he will be protected and saved. So that is the duty of the Muslim and the believer, that he must consider himself as blind and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam as being a person of sight. So if he has informed us, then we as believers, we do not require any more evidence. So he tells us that they come every day and make announcements. 5 angels descend and they make announcements. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the battle of the trench, while they were digging the trench, they came across one big boulder and they couldn't break that boulder. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he took the pickaxe, and with one knock on that boulder, 1/3 of it was knocked off and sparks flew. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in these sparks I was shown the palaces of Syria. I was given the keys to the palaces of Syria. He said, I'm seeing it with my own eyes. Then when he gave a second knock, in those sparks that flew, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I have seen the white palaces of Persia, and I've been given the keys of that, and I'm seeing it before me. And then with the third knock, he said the palaces of Yemen, Sana. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's informing the sahabas that we will conquer Syria, we will conquer Persia, you will conquer Yemen. Now all these things will come under your subjugation. And at what time is he telling them that? Or when is he saying that? He is saying that when he's got 2 stones tied on his own stomach. And when his companions are complaining of severe hunger, poverty was at its height. They were in such a weak position, physically or we will say that materially, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has got stone on his stomach. And at that time is informing the Sahaba ikram that this is what is going to happen. Not one companion of his said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we are being surrounded by all this confederation, all this alliance that has been made up of all the different tribes and nations. All the kuffar have gathered together and they have made up their minds that they're going to wipe us out from the surface of the earth. We are a small number of people and look at these people, how many thousands of them are coming. Not one of them had any doubt in what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. So that is a Muslim, that is a believer, that he has no doubt. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that one salat of yours, if you miss, it is as if your family and your wealth has been totally destroyed. If he says that, then we must believe that that is what is going to really happen. We may not see it being destroyed like that. The home is not being destroyed, the property is not going, the children are still living. But he says it is as if everybody, all the children lost their lives, family lost their lives, property all gone. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is going to happen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever was his desire, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fulfilled. But that we will be going on to a different subject just now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, at that time he is informing his companions and nobody is having any kind of objection. That is the yaqeen that they had. يَسْجَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلِ مِنْكُمْ وَإِزَّاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَزُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الزُّنُونَا هُنَالِكَ بَتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Isjaukum min fawqikum wa min asfala minkum. They came from above you and they came from below you. And when the eyes became dim and when the hearts gaped up to the throats and you began imaginations, different kinds of thoughts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in that situation the believers were tested and they were shaken as if it was a severe shaking. Very, very severe shaking. But even at that moment, the Sahaba ikram didn't doubt one bit that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that I have been shown palaces of Syria and of Yemen and of Persia, then it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So if he says that these angels descend, then we must believe in it that it is the truth and nothing but the truth. If we don't hear and listen to their announcement, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us, so that is better than listening with our own ears. Because our own ears can make a mistake in the listening. Our own eyes can make a mistake in the seeing. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes and his ears are not going to make any kind of mistake. When Maria Qibtiya, when her son Ibrahim, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's son Ibrahim passed away, so natural grief for every woman, anyone who loses a child in that infancy stage of that child. So she was grieved. It's a long story, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you want, then I can ask Allah ta'ala to remove the curtains and you will see in Jannat your child being nurtured by the angels. Now when she had such a golden opportunity to see with her own eyes directly into Jannat with the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time what did she say? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I trust your word more than my sight. I don't wish to see it. Now which woman would have that kind of iman? Because she feels that what if I just cannot see properly or make a mistake in my seeing, then I'll have a doubt in Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So her yaqeen was so much that if Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, it is the truth, finish, I don't want to even see my child there now. Look at their yaqeen. Now that is again another subject if we talk about the yaqeen of the sahabas. So the first angel comes and makes the announcement that the person who neglects the faraiz, the person who neglects the faraiz of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the farz ibadat, whatever is farz upon him, if he neglects the farz, then he is distanced from the rahmat of Allah ta'ala. person who neglects his farz, he is distanced from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat is very close to the doers of good. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsineen. But this person now who is neglecting his farz, he is distanced from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how much he makes dua and how much he begs and how much he pleads, O Allah, send your mercy upon us. Open the doors of your mercy. Open the floodgates of your mercy. And no matter how many people of the world pray for us, that Allah Ta'ala must open the floodgates of his mercy for us as believers in him. The whole world is praying. At the Kaaba Sharif, millions of Muslims are praying for the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And throughout the world millions are praying. But this angel announces that if you are neglecting your farz, if you are not fulfilling this farz obligation, then you are distanced from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So is that announcement by the angel an announcement that he makes at his own, with his own will? Or is it an announcement of Allah Ta'ala? That announcement which the angel is making, what makes him make that announcement? He doesn't have the power to make that announcement. That announcement is the announcement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That if you want my rahmat, then there is no question of negligence in the farz. What is farz, you will have to fulfill those obligations. You will have to fulfill those duties. Whether it is salat, zakat, hajj, fasting, whatever is farz. The muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is also farz. Just as these things are farz, it is also farz to have that much muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala that we stay away from anything displeasing to him and we fulfill all his ahkam. Nevertheless, so when the person is neglectful of his farz, I'm not going to detail explanation, but if he's going to be neglectful, and look at the ummah at large today, we must not look at some exceptions to the rule. A small percentage of people around the globe, if they are pious, righteous and fulfilling the farais in their lives, then we don't take that as something that will now bring the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. For those individuals it will be rahmat. But we are talking about mankind, of the ummah at large, and the people that are neglecting it, so they are distancing themselves from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Wherever we go today, we just can't seem to sense that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. There is a kind of darkness that we find. Those whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed with spiritual sight, we don't have that sight. But those who have that spiritual sight, in homes they see darkness. Those homes in which there are plenty of filthy pictures being seen on the television screen, on the porn sites of the internet, or in newspapers and magazines, all the filthy articles and the filthy pictures. And I mentioned many times that if we have to read those papers for the sake of catching up with some news around the world, then don't be ashamed, don't think it's below our dignity, or somebody will make a fool of us and a mockery of us if we have to tear up those pictures and those dirty articles and throw them away and let our newspaper look like a rag, torn and tattered. Because these are the things that's keeping the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala away. And the people of sight can then sense that there's a darkness in there. There is darkness. When Allah Wala went to visit one friend of his, and when he went into that house, he told him, he says that these walls, I'm seeing them pitch black, darkness. I sense darkness in this house. He said, no, but there's nothing like that. There's nothing that in this house which should bring such kind of, yeah, everybody is a namazi. Five time namaz everybody makes. My wife makes five time namaz. My children make five time namaz. They make tilawat of the Quran Sharif also. But then, with a few questions he was told, and he was informed that there is a television there on which so much of zina takes place. So they may not be committing it themselves, but so much of zina is taking place on that screen. So the darkness of that zina is permeating the whole room and the whole house. Now if we can't sense it, then it is our fault. Don't blame Shariat and Deen for it. Nevertheless, so this angel says that that person has distanced himself. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is far, far away from such people, those who are negligent with their farais. Then the second angel he announces, and those people who are neglectful in the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to whatever extent, there are some sunnats which are adiya, and so many other details are given about sunnats. But those sunnats which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized upon, now when the person is going to be neglectful upon those sunnats, then he will be distanced from the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. No matter how much he keeps on praying, Ya Allah, bless me with the shafa'at and the intercession of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. But he hasn't got to those a'mal which will bring him that shafa'at. The a'mal which will bring him the shafa'at is the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the person who is going to distance himself from the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he is going to be distanced from the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. At least if you've got the zahir of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then on the day of Qiyamah, what you know by now, the person can say, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de, main surat leke aaya hoon. What have we got besides surat? Have we really got haqiqat? Even our surat is not right. Even our surat, there is a question mark. Do we have the surat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Sirat is far away. But at least if we got the surat too, we can say, Ya Allah, what else can I present before you? I don't have anything. The only thing that I have brought is the surat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The zahir. But O Allah, you are the one who puts soul and ruh into the dead egg. The dead egg, who gives life? Who puts that life into that chick? So in the dead egg, if Allah, you can put life. In the creation of man, drop of sperm, you created man. First you created him from dust. Such qudrat you got, that you blow the soul into dead bodies. Then Ya Allah, this surat which I have brought, now make it haqiqat. Isko kar de haqiqat. Because it is only on haqiqat that we will get the help and the nusrat and the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Many times I have given that example, that if you go to the museum, then there they've got those lions and tigers stuffed with sawdust. They've got lions and tigers stuffed with sawdust. And there they've got a notice, please don't touch. They say, please don't touch. Why? Because there's no soul in there, there's no spirit in there, there's no ruh in there. It's just the surat of a tiger, surat of a lion. The outward appearance is only there. So they are scared that children can topple it too. And the rats can nibble at its claws too. But if you go to the Kruger National Park, have you seen on any lion's forehead written, please don't touch? One roar is sufficient from a distance also to make everyone run. Why? Because it has got haqiqat, the soul, the ruh, the spirit. And this comes with a little bit of effort and with the sohbat of the salihin. Then it transfers. That kind of yaqeen we have to also bring into our hearts. So the second angel, that is what he says, that the person who will not have the sunnats, then he is going to be distanced from the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the third angel says that the person who is going to indulge in haram risk, haram livelihood, he goes and seeks or searches for his livelihood in haram sources. His earning is haram. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not accept any of his amal. the haram that he is consuming. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to accept his a'mal, his salat and other things that he's going to do now because of that haram that he is feeding and nourishing his body. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not accept his a'mal, which is good a'mal. That is the announcement of the third angel. On this issue of halal haram also we can speak for hours. Many a times we have discussed how important it is in the life of a Muslim to eat that which is halal, to seek livelihood which is nothing but halal. One Allah wala, he says that for me to distance myself from one dirham of haram, from one dirham of haram to distance myself, it is far better than making 100 nafil hajj with halal earning. To make 100 nafil hajj with halal earning, he said, this is better for me. That if I have a doubt on just one dirham that it is haram, then to stay away from that. That is better than that 100 nafil hajj. How important halal is. And that is something that doesn't even bother us these days. That whether our earnings are halal or haram. We take it for granted that we are living in this world. We have to eat and drink, and we have to earn our livelihood. So from whichever source it comes, as long as it comes, halal andar, haram andar, sab kuch andar, phir bhi mast qalandar. So that is the thing that the halal, he says, if you're going to take haram, then this is what is going to happen. Then he says, each one is a subject on its own, but we just cover the five for tonight. The fourth angel announces, and as I said that we don't hear that with our ears, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informing us, so we believe in it to be the truth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the fourth angel announces that those people, or addresses those people who have passed away, the souls of the deceased, the souls of those who have passed away, and this came to mind after looking at the board. The souls of those who passed away, they are being addressed that, oh you who have departed from this world. I'm just giving you explanation. They say, oh ye people who have left this world, you have gone to your graves, you have turned to dust, but the souls are of course still alive. You tell them, what is it that you have regret over? And who are those people that you are envious over? Who are those people that you are envious over, that we wish we were like them? And who are those, and what is it that gives you great regret? You sigh with regret. So they say in response to that question, they reply that our greatest regret is this, that when we were in the world, we did not appreciate and value that time which Allah Ta'ala had given to us to make ibadah, zikr, tilawat and accumulate sufficient amount of good deeds that would have accompanied us to the graves. That is what that is their greatest regret. They are not regretting they left behind the home, they left behind the palace, they left behind the oil well, and they left behind all their bank balances. This is the regret that we wish whilst we were in the world, then we would have done great amount of good deeds, but we wasted our time. So we wasted and whiled away our time. That is our greatest regret, that we wasted our lives. How much of our time and lives gets wasted? A little bit of laughter, a little bit of joke, a little bit of everything is all within Sharia. But we are talking about the wastage of good, valuable time on things which are absolutely futile and useless. And that is one of the alamat or signs that Allah Ta'ala has turned away His glance of rahmat from them. To talk cheerfully with one's children, with one's family members, with one's wife, and with one's parents, to earn a halal livelihood. All these things are within Sharia, as long as it is within the limits. But we are talking about the hours and hours and hours, or in fact days and days and nights that people spend watching those things on television which are absolutely useless and futile. They are just pictures, images, just for a little while, for the pleasure of the eyes and for the pleasure of the ears, the person whiled away his valuable time and life. Whereas he could have read some good literature, he could have listened to some good tapes, he could have recited the Quran Sharif, he could have engaged himself in something constructive, even though it may have been a worldly thing, but at least it was beneficial for the purposes of this world or for the purpose of the Akhirat, then that would have been beneficial to him. But they will regret that all that time we just wasted, nothing. Sitting for all day on the ground, football ground, cricket ground, all day. Watching every day of the 5-day test. If it's 5 test matches, then every day from morning till evening. Why? That person says, I'm retired. Tell him, you've got so much of time, you watched all the tests. Say, well, I'm retired, I've got nothing to do. So the person is retired. Whereas there's no such thing as retirement until you go into the grave. NPS 55920. Please move your vehicle. For a believer and a Muslim, there's no such thing as retirement. Until we don't go to the grave, there's no retirement. There's still salat, there's still zakat, there's still ibadat, there's still obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How can we say that we're retired now? There's no retirement. And even if the person is retired from the worldly point of view, that now he doesn't have business to run, he's got his children taking care of his needs and requirements, or he's got sufficient investments. So then too, it's not that now he's got all the time to waste. It's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So the angel, this is their, how they respond to that angel saying. And when they ask, who are you most desirous of and envious of? They say, we are most envious of those people who are still living in the world. Those who are still there, we are most envious of them, that they at least still have the time to make the salat, to give the zakat, to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, to make zikr, to make ibadat, to give charities. They still have the time. Because soon the time will come for them also, which is mentioned in this ayat, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ. And spend out of that which we have given to you as sustenance before the time comes, before death comes. Then you would say, we wish we were given respite. Oh Allah, why did you not give us respite? فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Because, oh Allah, if you gave us some respite, some time, then we would have come from the Salihin. And we have spent, we were given charities. So he said, those are the people that we are envious of, that they still have the time and now we have no time, we're gone. And the last one announces that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has both His rahmat and ghazab also. His due explanation, that Allah Ta'ala has both rahmat, but He's also got ghazab also. Allah Ta'ala's anger, Allah Ta'ala has also got. So they say, we gave you a lot of encouragement that you must do those things which gets you jannat, but you did not pay any attention. Then we warned you about the ghazab and anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but that too you didn't pay attention. So now you must prepare yourself for the ghazab and the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So when the ghazab and the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is unleashed, then the superpowers of the world become little rats and mice. No power is left at all. The superpower also has to go with the begging bowl to the smaller gods, that now you help us. When Allah Ta'ala's azab is unleashed, no matter what kind of force and what kind of might and what kind of power the American government claims that it has, but in New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina, what it has done. Unless there were some Al-Qaeda operatives behind that too. The New Orleans airport had a lot of security there. They were checking the passports and everything thoroughly. They did not want any Al-Qaeda to get in and cause destruction. but they had to close up the airport too. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we must ask for his protection. It's not that it can only happen there, it can happen anywhere. What better are we here in South Africa? One has to just know what is happening in the discos and rave clubs and cinemas and theatres and gambling dens and the haram industries which are flourishing. Who are the people that are behind? Or how many Muslims are behind these type of industries? And how many Muslims have got employment in such kind of industries? And they're quite happy and satisfied. So we must ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his protection. We must not feel very proud. But at the same time, it is a lesson for those people who were hasty. As I always say, that sometimes we become hasty and we become emotional and we want to do things which will make us zalims instead of being mazloom. Will make us the unjust ones and hold back the rahmat of Allah ta'ala. I have mentioned many times in my bayan that if only we do that much which we have been authorized to do by Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then leave the rest to Allah ta'ala, then the same madad and nusrat and help of Allah ta'ala will come, just as it came in Badr and came in Uhud and came in Khandaq and so many other places. Then Allah ta'ala will use His hidden forces, His unseen forces. Now which force or which power can save this type of hurricane, or protect from this kind of hurricane or flood waters and things like that? So the angel's announcement is for us that we must be on guard, that don't do those things that will make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala angry. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just as he becomes happy, he becomes angry also. But he's not like a human being like us. His anger and happiness is not like our anger and happiness. So we must fear the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So those people who have passed away, they leave a lesson for us. So we make dua that those who passed away and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless them with Jannatul Firdaus, fill up their graves with noor and give sabr jameel, ajr azim to those that they have left behind. And Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat to take lessons from those that have left, that one day we have to also go in that same direction. Wallah, all that it requires is just a closing of the eyes and finish. All the hangama of the dunya is over. Saman so baras ka pal ki khabar nahi. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين اے میرے پیارے اللہ اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ we sinful servants of yours have raised our hands before you. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah. We have no deeds. My beloved Allah, we don't have capital of good deeds to accompany us to our graves. We have wasted our time, we have wasted our lives, we have wasted the golden opportunities that you gave to us to make ibadat, zikr, tilawat. We have indulged in so much of vices, sins and evil. But oh my beloved Allah, you are forgiving, you are merciful. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners. Ya Allah, we are begging, we are extending our begging bowls before you. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our wives and children, our parents, our brothers and sisters in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, nothing is hidden from your sight. You are aware of everything that we do. You listen to everything that we speak. Ya Allah, everything is in your control. Everything is in your power. Oh my beloved Allah, we are seeking from you the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, protect us from your azab. Open the floodgates of your rahmat and mercy for us. Ya Allah, we know we are not deserving of the rahmat and the mercy because we have been so negligent with our faraiz and with our ibadat and we have been so negligent in our mu'amalat and our mu'asharat. But oh my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. Therefore, my beloved Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy even though we are not deserving. Ya Allah, give us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, which sin is there that we have not committed? We have displeased you day and night. We have used your very bounties day and night for your disobedience. Our sight for your disobedience. Our hearing for your disobedience. Our speech for your disobedience. Our hands and feet for your disobedience. Our wealth and time for your disobedience. But my beloved Allah, whatever life is gone, is gone. The life that remains, only you know how much that is left. Whether it is a second or a year or a few years, it's only in your knowledge. My Allah, whatever life is left, give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you. Distance us from that which is displeasing to you. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma, dil badal de. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Shifa from spiritual sicknesses and physical ailments. Those who are in hospitals, clinics, wherever they may be, give them complete shifa. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove their difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make them obedient to you, to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to their parents. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat Mustaqim. Those who are weak, give them strength. Ya Allah, bless us with a life of respect. May izzat wali zindagi de. Zillat aur ruswai se hamari hifazat farmao. Bless us with your qurb, with your marifat, with yaqeen in you, with trust and tawakkul in you. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death visit us in a state that you are displeased with us. When the time of our death comes, my Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, drugs, or any kind of haram action. Let the angel of death find us in Medina Sharif. As the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, with a salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As salatu was salamu alayka ya Habibullah. As salatu was salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah suffering around the globe, remove its suffering, difficulties, hardships and problems. Ya Allah, wherever there's disasters, whether it is floodwaters that have caused disaster, or earthquakes, or any other kind of disaster, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, remove the suffering and the pain and the problem of the people. Oh my beloved Allah, don't test us also. Don't test us in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. Protect us from all kinds of calamities, disasters, hardships and problems. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our children, our grandchildren, our family members, our parents, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with all that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.